Water.
Okay, great. Good morning, everyone. Let's see what today. Today is Tuesday. No, today's Thursday. Thursday. Okay. I'm all confused. All right. So welcome to today's meeting, our executive committee meeting. I'm Terry Hollingsworth, and it is 8:34. So we are calling the meeting to order. Why don't we start with the Pledge of Allegiance? Okay, place your right hand over your heart. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. All right, roll call.
Terry Hollingsworth.
Present.
John Luker.
Yeah.
Annalisa Lukes. Barbara Mason.
Present.
So with three in attendance, we do have quorum.
Okay, fantastic. Public comment?
If anyone in the public would like to address the committee, you could raise your hand using star 9. If you're on the phone, you can use star 6 to unmute yourself. At this point, I don't see any members of the public in attendance.
Okay.
So okay.
We should. Okay, great. All right. So moving on to item number 5, we have an action item here. AB 361, the action item is to review and make findings required by government code subsection 54953E3. Recommendation is to continue virtual meetings due to the proclaimed state of emergency arising from COVID-19. Meeting in person presents imminent risks to the health and safety of attendees, and the emergency continues to directly impact the ability of the members to meet safely in person. So, do we have a motion to approve this motion recommendation?
Move.
Second.
Second, any Mason.
Great. Any opposed? Yes. All in agreement, say aye.
Aye.
Okay. I'm sorry, Chair, we do need a roll call vote for this action item.
All right, sorry about that.
It's okay.
Terry Hollingsworth?
Approve.
John Luker?
Approved.
Annalisa Lukes? Barbara Mason?
Approved.
All right. The three votes item moves forward.
Great, thank you. Moving on to item number 6, coal enrollment policy. Karma? Should I pass that over to you?
Yes. What I'm going to ask for is that you make motion, or you, that the committee takes motion for both the co-enrollment policy and the invoice review policy. And then the motion is to move it up to the full board for approval. So with that said, for the co-enrollment policy, this is a policy that has been further developed. What this policy does is establish, as far as service providers and organizations in the community, how and when to co-enroll and the procedures that are required for co-enrollment. The WEO allows us to co-enroll with different programs to better support the participants that come through our system, meaning that we can co-enroll with another community-based organization offering services that may be unique to ours in effort to support that individual holistically. It also allows us to, let's say hypothetically, a workforce board in another workforce area has a program or an employer connection that we don't necessarily have available in Orange County. It allows us to co-enroll between the two different workforce boards so we can both meet performance metrics, but also serve that client. There has not been a co-enrollment policy established by the state to identify how that works. The state did ask for a copy of this policy because they wanted to share it. So this is the first policy that I know of that really address the different levels of co-enrollment and establishes how co-enrollment should work and what should be put in the system. And I do know that the state intends to share this policy with other workforce boards to help them establish how to do co-enrollments appropriately. So with that, the ask is for the committee to take action to approve it so that we can move it up to the full board. I have provided EDD a copy of this policy before I brought it to you. And then once the policy is established, I will be sending them the final policy for them to share with the other workforce boards. Any questions or concerns about the co-enrollment policy?
It makes sense, Karma, but are there any financial implications to an individual being cold enrolled? Does this cross county lines as well?
It does cross county lines.
Right.
That's a great question. So when you say financial implications, yes, that means that more dollars can be spent on that individual possibly. Mm-hmm. But it's not where there is a compliance finding against us unless we don't do it appropriately. So this establishes how to do it appropriately so there is not a financial issue for us as a workforce area. But in terms of the client, yes, it does allow the client. So for example, if I have a program that LA County doesn't have, but LA County has already spent dollars towards that individual can be co-enrolled in my program and receive whatever service I have. So some of my dollars can be spent on supporting that individual too. So it stretches the dollars. In most cases, it pretty much is a stretch of dollars. So for example, let's say that United Way had a program, let's not even look at workforce boards, but United Way has an upskill program. That individual can be co-enrolled in United Way's upskill program and our program to meet their needs. Because at the end, United Way is going to have things that they're going to be allowed to do with their philanthropic dollars that we are not able to do with WIOA.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Any other questions for Karma? Okay, so
I don't have any questions. We review this in the youth committee, so I would move to approve it as well.
Okay. So the next, I think John said he has no questions. I couldn't hear him. I don't know if you guys. I think you said
I don't have any questions. We reviewed it at youth committee, so.
Yes, we did, and we reviewed it at the one stop committee, but we didn't vote on it. The next policy, if there are no more questions about that, the next policy is the invoice review policy. This is the first policy that addresses how we review invoices. So our contracts are based on we have two types of contracts within our workforce area right now. We have a cost reimbursement contract, and then for AmericaWorks, we have a cost reimbursement plus performance. Over the years, we've had some challenges with service providers being able to provide appropriate forms of documentation to support costs. In addition to that, there was a time when documentation to support costs wasn't required. And as a result of that, we have a lot of compliance findings. We recently had a compliance situation with one of our service providers where they had to return back $14,000 because they claimed cost on an invoice, but didn't actually have the cost. So this policy establishes that how cost reimbursement is going to work for this workforce area and that service providers will be required to provide us documentation to support the cost in order to seek reimbursement and what forms of documentation are acceptable. So the first form of acceptable documentation is an actual receipt. If you have an actual receipt, that resolves it because the receipt basically shows that you've paid it. But if you do not have a receipt, in some cases you can use payroll ledgers, you can use credit card statements or bank statements to support that you actually did incur that cost and paid it. So this policy really establishes how cost reimbursement works for us as a workforce area and acceptable forms of documentation. And in addition to that, I believe that this policy is going to help resolve some previous compliance findings that are still open for our workforce area regarding reimbursement of costs to service providers that did not actually incur the cost. So I think this is going to help us clean up some of those. So as you know, we've got some compliance findings in the past. So I'm hoping that by providing this policy to the state, they can see that we have something in place to avoid that in the future. Are there any questions or concerns about this policy?
No questions. It seems reasonable to request that supporting documentation. So no concerns. I'm sorry, Barbara, go ahead.
I said it makes sense. It seems very reasonable and makes sense.
All right. So do we need a motion to approve both the co-enrollment and the invoice review policy?
I'll make a motion.
Mason moves.
Second.
All right. Any opposed? I guess not. All right. All in agreement, say aye.
I think we have to do a roll call again.
Roll call.
Oh, yeah, right.
Terry Hollingsworth?
Approved.
John Luker?
Approved.
Anna Elisa Lukes? Not present. Barbara Mason?
Approved.
Okay, thank you. Items move forward.
All right. Let's see, what do we have next on the agenda? Exit off my screen here. Okay, so now we're moving on to the information items, starting with item number 8, Business Service Committee.
So I'll speak on behalf of Annalisa since she's not here. During the Business Service Committee meeting, we discussed business solution surveys that were conducted. So there were 203 surveys that were sent out between October and December 21st, and we reviewed the outcomes of those surveys. Those surveys were based on job fairs, on-the-job training, job posting, candidate search referrals, rapid response and layoff events, CalJobs assistance in creating accounts, job description creation, and then labor market information. So we sent out surveys to 203 businesses that we engage with in those different areas to ask, how well are we doing? Are there ways for us to improve? We didn't get as many surveys back as we'd liked. However, we did get some information. We received high remarks in the categories in terms of how would you rate the resource or assistance provided? Pretty much above 80% of success, right? And then we asked, how would you rate the customer service provided? Pretty much higher than 80% for every survey we received back. The next question was, how likely would you use business solutions again? There was one area that we didn't get as many responses back, but the other three areas we received 100%. So overall, we are engaging. What Rhonda's team decided to do that was different in the past recently is to send out those surveys weekly instead of waiting quarterly to send them out. So that way we get feedback faster, but then also so it's fresh in the mind of business of what their experience is like. So I think that with that, she's gotten some better feedback. There's still room for us to improve and we're gonna work towards that. But that was one of the items that we shared and discussed during the Business Solutions Committee. The other item that we discuss is the District 3 job fair. As you know, we had a job fair at Irvine Valley College in October 6th of 2021. There were 116 employers and 187 job seekers in attendance, and we discussed the performance of that job fair. The second job fair that we discussed was the veteran job fair. That one also was a success. There were, trying to get to the page. Faster than I intended to. I apologize. That was on November 17, 2001. There were 89 employers in attendance and 73 job seekers. And then the success story that she shared with the group is that there was an individual that was working at Walmart that as a making about $18 an hour. And as a result of that job fair, he was able to find placement. Making $85,000 a year. So that was a really great success story for a veteran who attended. I'm sure that there are more success stories. Unfortunately, we're not always able to collect back the information from the employers or the job seekers of did you get a job? But we're certainly trying to figure out how to get that after the fact. So that was one of the reports that was provided in a true success story, that the job fairs are working and that Business Solutions is moving in a positive direction. The other thing that was shared for Business Solutions, is a little bit out of order, was the work experience and OJT opportunities made available. As you know, we have an OJT grant from the state for $400,000 to create on-the-job training opportunities for dislocated workers. We've had one placement with T.E. Roberts for $26 an hour for a driver. That one's completed. But then Rhonda shared that she's got multiple job opportunities in the pipeline. I'm trying to count them real fast. It looks like she's got over 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. 20, 21, 22, 23. She's got about 27 in the pipeline, which is a lot. And so she's meeting with the service providers to identify participants that are in the workforce pipeline that qualify for these opportunities. She's also reaching out to other workforce boards across, like near us, so LA, Riverside, San Diego, to see if they have any participants that qualify for these opportunities to help obtain placement, because part of what Rhonda's role is not just to find job seekers in our workforce area, but to actually find placements for those employers that are working with us. And so she's working on alternative methods to identify candidates for that placement opportunity. She also provided like a breakout of like all the events that she's attended and the connections she's made with businesses to ensure that we are trying to grow and develop our business pipeline. So that was great information that Rhonda shared during that committee. So that is the updates for Business Solutions. Are there any questions?
No questions. I think it's good that, you know, again, we're sort of getting out of our county silos and, you know, crossing lines. And I mean, because we, you know, we all need to work together, you know, across the entire region. And so that's good that we're seeing that that crossover there. Any questions for Karma before we move on to the next item? Okay, so next we have, let's see, that was the, I'm going back to the agenda. Oh, okay, so item number 9, Youth Committee report.
We had a great youth committee meeting a few weeks ago, went over these policies that Karma just went over. We also reviewed the performance of the various vendors. City of La Habra in particular is having a lot of struggles, I think, with COVID on expending the funds. There are some invoicing type of issues that I understand that are being cleared up. I don't know, Karma, if you have any update on that, but it sounds like they were having some issues getting the invoices into us properly. Is that being cleared up or is it cleared up?
Terry, you're on mute.
Actually, that was a question John was posing to you, Karma.
I was just asking the invoicing from City of La Habra. We weren't able to review a lot of the budget data because of they weren't able to get their invoices in properly. And I know it was in the process of getting cleared up. Was that, has that proceeded to get cleared up or?
They are working on it. I believe we've gotten about 3 invoices from them thus far. So for the rest of the committee, La Habra hadn't sent us any invoices. So from July 1 up until February, we haven't received any invoices for La Habra, which puts us at a disadvantage as a workforce area because we have no idea how they're spending and or how much money they're likely to get back at the end of the year. So as a result, Maggie shared that she was working with La Habra to kind of clean up some of their invoicing challenges. I believe today we've got about 3 of those invoices that I've actually reviewed and approved for payment. I think Maggie's still working with them to get the remaining invoices submitted so that we can move forward with those as well.
So on top of the invoicing issue, the getting youth in with the different COVID issues and different things like that, their performance data is also pretty low. The team is working with them to kind of get that back up. Conversely, Goodwill, I think, is meeting a lot of their goals and has gotten everything in, so that, you know, smaller program is doing well. I think that's about it. We had a great presentation. I'm sure we're going to talk about that a little bit more on performance-based contracts. It was very intriguing. So we're looking forward to learning more on that for sure.
Just a question. Is there a deadline to sign up for the summer training youth program?
Well, we don't do the summers all year round. So that way, if you do sign up in the summer, you can sign up in the summer. You can sign up all year round to be on a real youth program.
Okay. You can sign up. Okay. Got it. You know, I'm just thinking about sort of a recent experience that we've had with another program that we've promoted to our hospitals, that we might be able to also promote this, the summer youth program, to those individuals that might be eligible, because there are eligibility requirements around this, right? Okay. Yeah. So if you have any kind of marketing collateral that you can share, I'd be willing to send this out to our member hospitals.
So Terry, I want to make sure we're talking about the same thing. So for the WIOA youth program, we've got the in-school youth and the out-of-school youth, and it's all year round. I know that certain cities and other workforce areas receive special dollars for summer programs where they just operate a summer work experience only. We don't necessarily have that. However, our WIOA youth program, 20% of our funding has to be spent on work experience. So that's why I said it's all year round. So youth can start anytime, May, June, July, in our program and receive work experience that entire time. It's not just summer for us.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But I'd love to connect with the hospitals to see if there's an opportunity to do that over the summer so we can maybe encourage more enrollments.
Mm-hmm. Right. Any other questions regarding the youth committee report? Okay. Why don't we move on to item 10, one-stop oversight committee.
Hi, good morning. So we had a good meeting. It was a challenge getting through everything in time. So the good news is we've added a new committee member, Chris Horton. He runs a payroll company. And so I think it's a good new thought, you know, person who thinks a little differently. And I think the value of the committee is having people that come from different, you know, I come from big business. He has a small payroll company. So I think there's real value in his addition. He also is involved in the City of Orange Chamber of Commerce. So he understands business like that. So we started to dig into the reports on the one-stop performance, and 50 minutes in, we realized we'd only gotten through two. I'd say the committee is concerned, disappointed that the reports tend to be, we're behind schedule. We just continue to be behind schedule. Part of it is COVID, but we want to dig in deeper and say, is it really all COVID? What we hear from the providers are a lot of wanting to get people back in the brick and mortar buildings. But separately, we're seeing a real theme and pattern of virtual and people wanting virtual services. And this all sort of came to a head looking at South County. And so the South County area is really behind. And the thought is once we get the brick and mortar ready, it's all going to get fixed. And we really challenged that and really challenged, are we really looking at virtual offerings, which tends to be where it's going. So I think we need to do some more work there. We also looked at, and we had asked in a prior meeting to see the type of placements that are occurring. Are they full-time jobs? Are they seasonal jobs? What kind of jobs are they? What we received was just a long list of jobs. So we asked, particularly our EDD rep, Rob, really pushed that they roll that up into an executive summary for the board. So hopefully next week, you're going to see more of an executive summary, maybe with a pie chart on the type of jobs and not necessarily an inventory list. Because I think we want to compare that against our five strategic areas that we see growth And are we growing into those areas or not? I don't think we can say we are yet. We don't have enough data to say that we have the relationships. I think we need to do a gap analysis. Are we growing in those areas? If we aren't, why? Do we not have the relationships for those jobs? You know, it just needs to dig deep. I think that's kind of a summary, and I'll let Karma, if I missed anything, Karma, please take it from there.
No, I think you covered pretty much some of the challenges that this community,
But on a positive note, I will say, I think the grant report was very good. The career fair report was very good. I don't want to make it sound negative. There were some very good reports on the veterans, the career fair, the survey. Those are going well. We just remain concerned, and it's a pattern. Every meeting, we are digging into these schedules, and we're just not getting there.
Terry, just one more thing, Barbara. We did also have a presentation from Third Sector Strategies on the three different type of contracts, cost reimbursement versus pay for performance versus performance-based contracts. I know that the full board had asked for information on that, to consider that being an alternative to some of the contracts we currently have. And so each committee, with the exception of business, because it doesn't really apply to that one, but for the one stop in the youth committee, we've sat down with it, well, virtually, with the organization to kind of discuss what those models could look like. We are also going to have a presentation with the full board so that the board can make a decision as to how they want to move forward with contracts, if they want to take a stab at performance-based or pay-for-performance contracts, or some combination of that, moving forward with our programs that are directly connected with serving individuals. We do have one contract, like I said, for the one-stop operator. It is a hybrid contract. It's cost plus performance. The issue is they never made performance. So today they've had this contract going in now to the second year and have still not met any of the performance metrics.
So it sounds like
we talked a little bit about saying what defines success, you know, and maybe taking a step above, and the way it's always been done, maybe it needs to be revitalized. Like in the past, the measurement was people that came into the one stop. Maybe that's not necessarily a good measurement anymore as people go online more. So we watched the video. I think it was a half hour, and our feedback was, you know, when we go to the full board, time is so tight. Maybe don't need to spend as much time on what is performance-based contract. I think a lot of the board members probably are familiar with that. And a little more time on discussion. What are the implications of it? What should we be thinking about?
So it sounds like there are a number of issues that need to be addressed in this area. My first question has to do with the reports provided by the provider. Am I hearing that they are not submitting them on time?
No, I hope I didn't present it that way. They are, okay. I'm not aware of that. It's more okay. They're behind schedule.
They're behind schedule.
You know, they're halfway through the year and they're behind schedule, and the plans to catch up aren't really building confidence to us. You know, we're not hearing a strong plan on how they're going to close that gap.
Okay, so it sounds like more work to be done in this area. John, any questions?
Yeah, I think Karma could indicate if they're delay. We did have an issue a few times back with a delay in turning them in, but I haven't heard that again. Okay. That was maybe a few months ago, but this is just, they're just not cycling enough people through. They're not paying off enough. It's just, we're just not getting the churn, which makes us as a committee, and we really had a pretty deep discussion, and we were really getting into it and realized we were running out of time, that maybe we're using an old model. Maybe we need to be really rethinking this. How do we measure that?
I'm sorry. And do we know how we compare, Orange County compares to the other? How's it look?
Well, I sent an email out to the board members a couple of weeks ago where I provided you state reports. So the states have a delay in the reporting system, but I provided you guys the 18-19 report and the 19-20 report for the entire state and all workforce areas. How does it look is a good question. So in theory, let's do it this way. In theory, we're meeting performance metrics because remember, I negotiate performance with the state every year. But when we contract with the service providers, I purposely make their performance higher than ours so that we make our performance metrics, right? But the challenge is when the service provider gets a contract with us, right? And we have people lingering in the program, it delays performance for our workforce area and reduces how many people are being served. So in the contract with our service provider, there's intentional thought behind when we give them this contract and we tell them to serve people, what we mean by that. I'll give you an example. Let me see if I can find a spreadsheet that I created to kind of help people understand it, because I think that in the service provider's mind, they're doing fine. And in theory, for us as a workforce area, we are. However, for the service provider, they're not. And I think that that's a constant challenge. Because I don't think they understand it. It's intentional that I don't make my performance their performance. I make their performance higher than mine so that Orange County always makes performance or at least close to it. Let me give you an example. Let's see if I can't find it. I tried to, I did a training assignment with my staff on performance this week so that they understand the logic behind it, because the service provider came back to them and said, I don't understand why she's making my performance higher. So I wanted to make sure they understood it so that way they could communicate it back to our service providers why we intentionally do this. Let's see if I can't find it. Did I email it to you guys or did I just do the screen share? You're on mute if you're talking.
I believe it was just something you had shown us on screen.
I think I accidentally deleted my work, but I can do it again real quick. I can recreate it. Okay, so I'm going to share my screen, kind of give you guys an idea of how this works. So the year starts for us July, right? And it ends in June every year. And so let me screen share. How many of you guys can see my screen?
Now we're able to.
Okay, yes. So I'm going to create the year for you. You can see the year.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to continue this going. All right, another year for you. And then let's do one more year. All right, so hypothetically, let's call this year right here 2022. We're gonna call this year right here 2023. And let's say that in this period, the first quarter, I'm gonna highlight this, that this is an exit happened during this period. And let's see, an exit happened during that period, and then an exit happened during this period. With a different color so you can track how I'm doing this. And then I'm gonna use that color. I use that color, let's use one of these colors. And then, okay.
While Karma's doing that, I'll also add that when we looked at, after the video, when we talked about the performance base, we talked about maybe doing some pilot cases and not going, you know, immediately flipping the switch and changing everything over, maybe doing some pilot cases and a transition period.
Right.
And then let me see their contract number information. So let's hypothetically say that MCS got a contract with us, right? And it started on July 1st of 2022, right? Let's hypothetically say that on July 1st of 2022, they have some carryover participants that exited between July and September, right? Oh, let me do this. So this would be first quarter after, actually, this is fourth quarter after, actually. Sorry, I should have done this. And then I gotta do one more layer. There. Okay. So hypothetically, let's say that during this period between July and September, someone exited from the program. Second quarter after exit would be the first time it shows in our performance metric, right? So if they exit in July, then October would show up, right? Fourth quarter would happen April through June, right? That's in the first year of their contract, right? But let's hypothetically say that it was somebody they enrolled in this period and they didn't exit them till over in 2023. It's gonna keep staggering performance for us, right? So that's why we make it where if I give you a contract and I tell you, let me see, what is their contract? So let me find that page. I apologize. I did this with my team and I don't know why I didn't save it. Let's see. Here's one. Okay. So let's say for their, which contract is this? Their dislocated worker contract. They have a contract to serve 600 new dislocated workers, 100 carry forward. So whatever they inherited from another provider, they're supposed to serve them, right? So that's a total of 700 people we want them to serve. Now, mind you, we say 600 new or more. We don't say 600 and that's it. We say 600 new, at least no less than 600 new people or more. So in theory, we expect that in this year, this 2022 year, for you to at least serve 700 people or more, right? And so of those 700 people, we tell them that we want 617 of that 700 people to be in place during this year, right? And then we tell them that we want an average of that placement to be $8,855 per, like the average for median pay for participants, $8,855, right? And then we tell them of all the 700 people you enroll, we think that no less than 531 of them should get a degree or certificate. We also tell you that no less than 602 of them should have a literacy numeracy game. We tell you that at least 452 of your participants should be able to retain employment, right, when you're done with them. And then for co-enrollment, we don't give you a number, we just encourage co-enrollment under that performance. And then serving individuals with disabilities, we don't give you a number, we just suggest that you try to serve as many people with disabilities. And at the end of it, we say we want at least 617 people out of the 700 you're gonna serve to be exited, because what we don't want you to do is be carrying these people over year after year after year. So that's how their performance is set up. And I think that they don't understand that that's the performance we're giving them, so we intentionally win. Now, our performance is a little bit different. Our performance is negotiated hypothetically on second quarter after exit. How many, like after the person exits, this yellow right here, of the people that were exited between July and September, how many of those people retain their job, right? We get counted on that, that hypothetically, let's say I negotiated 80% of them keep their job second quarter after exit. And then maybe I negotiated between that people that exited in that period that at least, I don't know, 90% of them still have a job at fourth quarter. That's how we negotiate with the state, but that's not what we're giving them, because we want them to basically support and move people through the system each year. We don't want you to carry them over for years. So we intentionally give them numbers like this, so they understand that this year, this is what our expectation is for you, and that this is the performance we expect for you to do for the participants that you enroll. When you enroll somebody in WIOA, you are expected, like if you're going to enroll them as an individual, there is an expectation for you to actually help them either connect with education or training, get them a credential, have a measurable skills gain. You're not enrolling them just to see if they get a job. You're supposed to be enrolling them because they can't get a job without being enrolled in individualized career services. There are two different ways you can serve a participant in WIOA. There's basic career services where maybe they come in a one-stop center, you give them job referrals, you maybe send them to a resume class, but it's not intense. Then there's individualized career services where you enroll them into the program. You're saying that they need more than just job referrals and access to technology. They need education or supports to get that next job. Well, our expectation is if you're saying that they need that, you actually got to do it. Mm-hmm. And so I think that our service provider for the longest time have been under the impression that the performance that we negotiate is their only measure of performance. And it, like Barbara can share with you, we had a public comment during our event, during our meeting, where the service provider called it out. And I don't think the service provider understands that just because we made performance doesn't mean she did. It means that we made performance as a workforce area because we gave you numbers high enough to make sure we make it, even if you can't, even if you don't make the performance we give to you. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And Karma, thank you for bringing up the public comment. She was quite passionate about it, and she brought documents she wanted to distribute. There was, and then she tried again to speak during the meeting. So there was clearly a disconnect going on there.
Do you feel, Karma, that we spend enough time up front with these providers to explain in great detail what's expected of them? And
so it's funny. Yeah. So I changed this back. I don't know, John, if you remember that I changed how we did performance probably back in 2018. Robbie, you might remember it too. Probably I got here in November 2018 and I realized that this was off. So I changed performance probably as early as 2019, and we had the same conversation with them then. I had this conversation, maybe not in detail where I show you the actual pattern of how performance is actually done, but I did explain to the board why we were making the performance the way we were, so that we can ensure that our workforce area at least meets performance, if not exceeds. So we were being aggressive in our contracts with the service providers to make their performance higher than ours and to make their performance targeted, because Barbara and John might remember, we have participants that have been in our program for 3 or 4 years. There is absolutely no reason for an individual to be rolled in a wheel for 3 or 4 years. Right. And we did a mass exit. So what we did do, our performance fell for 1 year because we exited everybody out of the program that hadn't been engaged for 90 days. We were no longer allowing you to just click a button saying you're still talking to them. You had to actually come physically into that center for us to keep you in the program. We tried to help clean up some of that past behavior. Go ahead.
Oh, no question. I was just nodding my head to that. Okay. All right. So it does sound like there's still more work to be done in that area. And we'll just continue to focus on that. And thank you, Barbara, for leading up those efforts. And we'll just continue to try to do our best to clear these things up. I'm just hoping that as we apply for future grant funding, is this going to show negatively on our report on our side in terms of being able to access funding?
Well, that's a great question. Because I make our performance so much higher, in most cases it will not, a few of them it will. So when it comes to the youth, it probably will. And it's not just necessarily performance, it's the number of people you actually support. So if we keep getting these low numbers, it's gonna look like, well, Orange County doesn't have a workforce problem. Yeah. They can barely get people in their workforce system. So they don't need millions of dollars to support it.
Okay. All right. Is there anything else that you need, Barbara? That you don't have currently to help you address these issues?
No, I think we had a good conversation. I think, I think the answer is no for it right now.
Okay.
But I think, you know, we've seen this like a year ago, we would have accepted COVID as the answer. Mm-hmm. But now we're saying we can't keep saying it's COVID. We need to really dig deeper.
Right. Got it. All right. Great. So if there are no further questions, thank you for that report. We will go ahead and move on to our last item, I guess, discussion items. Is there anything else, Karma, that you need to share with the group? Okay. Anything that Barbara or John that you'd like to raise?
Not me.
Okay.
No, I would just, it may be good to keep reminding ourselves of those 5 strategic areas we're trying to, to keep reminding ourselves of our vision, and we're trying to place people in those 5 growth areas. I think we need to, maybe even put a slide in our deck and just keep reminding that baseline.
Right, I agree. And Karma, the strategic planning session is scheduled for when again?
I believe they sent out a note to schedule it in March. Adriana, did we finalize a date?
The majority of votes, which really wasn't too many, was March 23rd.
So we'll be sending out a meeting invitation for March 23rd.
Mm-hmm. Which is a Wednesday.
Okay. And I'm sure this will be on the, we will address this on the agenda somewhere in the strategic planning session. All right, I don't have any additional comments. So with that said, I think we can adjourn today's meeting. Thank you all for joining us, and we will come together soon. Great. Have a great day. Mm-hmm.